This is Sci-Fi for Me Radio.
You're listening to Sci-Fi for Chicks, the Clone Club edition, as we talk Orphan Black, Season 2, Episode 5, Ipsa Scientia Potestas Est, or as we like to call it...
The Brother Shastra episode.
Until Sarah comes to heal, Cassima will suffer.
Ooh, I love that. We finally get some good Rachel time here on this.
Yeah, we were definitely missing out because, damn.
Yeah, exactly. That was, even as the teaser for this episode, when you know, seeing it last week, it's like, oh, finally. I guess I should actually say welcome to Sci-Fi for Chicks. Like we said, this is the Clone Club edition, and we're going to be talking Season 2, Episode 5, Ipsa Scientia Potestas Est. I think I'm getting better the more I say
it. Yeah, your Latin is definitely getting better.
I could travel back in time and they can look at me and go, where the hell are you from? Which it means knowledge itself is power. And remember how last week I'm like, where the heck are they getting all these episode titles? Remember when I said that?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So thank you, Wikipedia. I went and looked online, and it says all Season 2 titles are quotes from the works of Sir Francis Bacon. So I was like, oh, okay, so they are actually having a plan with their titles. It's not some sort of poem. Season 1, they were all from Origin of the Species by Darwin. So this season we're in Sir Francis Bacon time. But anyway, that was just a little fun fact there. Ooh. Like I said, we're going to be talking about that. We're going to name our clone queen and backup for the week and look ahead to next week's episode. But first, let's remind everyone what happened on this episode with our bullet points. Pew, 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 pew. I don't have a sound effect for bullets right now, so we'll just have to live with that. Rachel Wage... See, I knew I was going to have problems with this. I got the title, and now I've got this. Rachel wages war. You say that three times fast. Rachel wages war against Sarah, threatening the lives of everyone close to her, especially Felix and, as we just heard, Cosima. Sarah and Art play partners again and continue to search for answers about Rachel's past while Helena goes on the offensive against Rachel as only Helena can. That poor little Barbie doll. Cal continues to take care of Sarah, and the Prolethians resort to extreme measures, even against their own, in order to further twisted goals. Leaky agrees to administer a new treatment for Cosima's illness against Rachel's orders, as Paul succumbs in multiple ways to Rachel's influence. And go, Alex.
I don't even...
Where do I start?
Yes, I honestly don't even know where to start. Well, I suppose we can start with Cal because nothing happened.
Well, he has a gun. We know Cal has a gun.
Yes, apparently he has a gun and some cash, and he went shopping with
And fake IDs.
Yeah, and fake IDs. Everybody has fake IDs nowadays, you know. It's nothing to be impressed with.
Okay. And, well, he has Kira's trust, too. Did you like how she stepped in with her little gas mask burning dinner joke?
Yes, I am finding that we soon, if this continues, we will have to take back what we said about her in the very first podcast. Because seriously, in this episode, she was adorable.
She was adorable.
She was adorable.
She works well with Cal. You know, I think I actually like her better with that because it is a freer relationship, whereas her and Sarah have that back history that she, you know, not that Kira's going, you abandoned me, Mom, but even that little part, I love when she goes, I'm not a monkey, to her mom. It's like, ooh,
yeah.
She getting sassy.
Clearly, she's a napper. Hello? Like, wasn't that enough of a hint?
I know. Well, you know, I guess Sarah's just not into all the latest fashion here.
I really enjoyed their Skype conversation whatever it was. It was probably Skype.
We'll say Skype because we're on Skype right now, so, you know.
Yeah. Because it
Yay,
was
Skype, if you want to sponsor us. Sorry.
Yeah. But seriously, it was much more... casual and natural than their interactions in previous episodes.
That's
which
true.
I don't really know why it would be like that. Because I always thought that for kids, or, well, actors in general, it would be easier to interact and act opposite someone, right? And there, in that scene, they were pretty much acting with a computer.
Yeah.
Nothing else, right? So, but the end result was so natural that I was like, huh, yeah, me and Heather, we will have to take back everything we said about this child actress.
Okay, I'm not going to take everything back, but I'll give her a chance. I'm giving her a chance.
Yeah,
But maybe it's also because kids nowadays are used to dealing with technology, so maybe it's just a natural thing.
Maybe.
But yeah, she was cute. But I did like that sass. I'm not a monkey.
Yeah.
Put me in your my place there. Okay, so, and of course, the one other thing we can say, a disappointment this week with Cal, well, you know, he kept all of his clothes on. Damn it.
Yes, but that's a good thing.
With Kira, yeah, that's true. Know, that's true.
Thinking
that's
how true. Most of his scenes were with his
but
kids.
But for us,
so, you know.
I'm thinking about us. Come on, he could step out of the trailer, just rip off the shirt.
I think there is a rule on this show that only one actor is allowed to take his shirt off per episode, and in this episode we had Paul, like a lot of him.
Okay, well, we had more than his chest.
So, you know, there might be a rule. You don't know that.
We'll have to look out for that one there. You are right. Yeah. It is good that he didn't take off his shirt since Kira was the only female around. But come on, a little love. So I guess we're done with Cal then. Thanks, Cal. Bye. See ya.
See you later. In my Google searches.
Let's not talk about those. They don't need to know all
research.
Oh, is that what you're calling it now?
Oh, definitely. Hello.
Okay, well, since we're on that particular track, why don't we go back? I have to admit, I did like this one little bit of humanity that Rachel had when she closed Daniel's eyes when he was dead. That this little brief close the eyes, and then she went back to being Rachel, and then everything with her and Paul was just...
But what I really love about Rachel is how closed off she is.
Yeah.
Like, all she has is this mask that shows nothing, no emotions, nothing. But in that particular scene when she demanded, because that's what she was doing, she demanded to see Daniel, right?
Yeah.
For this one last time. It was like, I was this close, like really, really close to actually... feeling for her. Because there was so much contained emotion. Mm-hmm. And once again, you know, Tatiana, oh my god, she is the queen and deserves all the awards. But I did not expect for this one scene and everything that followed to be so powerful.
Yeah.
So, wow.
When it's a small act that really... says a lot. You know, you don't have to necessarily have all this exposition to get something like that across. Just that one little thing, and it was like she was closing the door on that, and compartmentalizing now, I think, her relationship with Daniel, because, you know, she closes his eyes and then says how loyal he was, and I love the comment, yeah, loyal to you, you know. Nobody else was he loyal to, just to you. But then it's like she compartmentalizes it and puts it away again, and now we're back on track. And ticking those boxes, and hey, I need a new monitor. Paul, you're it. And it's I like it's what was the line that he said later on? God, I even wrote it down because I really liked it. You know, about are you asking if I'm interested or reminding me I have no choice? And I think that really summed up a lot of Paul's character right there.
Yeah. Definitely. Though I have to admit, I was slightly creeped out,
really?
But by the sex scene that followed. Because
by the way, we're jumping around the entire episode throughout this whole thing,
yeah.
So because this is way
like,
later.
If you haven't noticed yet.
Oh, and wait, spoiler alert.
Spoilers.
If you haven't watched this episode. Okay, so we're back to the sex scene, which is what I was kind of go from from Cal to Paul. I was like, okay, if we're not going to get Cal's shirt off, let's jump to a little Paul action.
I feel like I have to put up a disclaimer because normally I probably wouldn't even care about a scene like that, but I'm kind of... Well, after Game of Thrones, where they put in gratuitous sex, violence, everything,
no.
I'm pretty much, yeah, whatever, about any naked time that happens, because, well, whatever, you know, and I just roll my eyes and wait until actual plot comes back. But here it was such a show of dominance.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
And it was like, and I was, for a moment there, I was thinking, okay, is what I'm watching consensual? Because there were moments when I actually didn't know which, and those moments creeped me out because, well, really? Is this consensual? I know that technically he's her monitor, but... The way she was handling him, and I love it because I read an interview with the actor who plays Paul. Mm-hmm. What's his face? I don't remember, but
no disrespect to you. We can be bad with names sometimes.
Oh, terrible! I remember Tatiana's name, you know, and she plays like seven characters.
Which okay, a little quick tangent here. She needs. I feel really guilty, bad for her when the opening credits that her name's only up there once. It's like everybody else gets as much opening credit time as she does.
And there should be like
Tatiana.
But going back to what I was saying, I read an interview somewhere right after the episode aired. And he was talking about how completely different not only the scenes between Paul and Rachel and Paul and Sarah were in that regards, but how different his working relationship on those days in those scenes was with Tatiana. Mm-hmm. Like, she was Rachel.
Scary.
And seriously, it was like, She was Rachel, and last year she was Sarah. Mm-hmm. And it was so completely different, then it didn't really feel like having a scene with the same with the same actress.
Wow.
Like, because normally it's like, you know, you've worked with one person, so if you're doing similar things with the same person, it's like more comfortable, and you know what you can and cannot do. And this was like working with a completely different person.
Right.
And I really, really loved reading about that and his, you know, insight into those scenes because, wow.
Well, I would think that, yeah, you would need to, when you're playing that many different characters and you're not playing, she's not playing a schizophrenic. She's not playing somebody with multiple personalities. She is multiple characters and multiple people that you have to try and keep them straight somehow. I mean, I know a lot of actors that stay in character pretty much the entire time. I mean, from the minute they get there to the set to the moment they leave, that's what you call them. That's who they are. You know?
Digressing, because it wouldn't be sci-fi for me.
Check. We are.
Check. I remember bloopers from one of Ewan McGregor's comedies, romantic comedies, when...
Down with Love?
Possibly. Who am I today? Yeah. Obi-Wan.
Oh, you just made me happy, little Ewan. Oh, well, not little. No, he's not little. You just made me happy, reminding me about Ewan.
Yeah. Coming back to Orphan Black.
Oh, I'm getting flushed. He really does. He has a different presence with her too, with Rachel. You can tell he carries himself different and
stiffer. Much not intended, but
yeah, because he knows before. I think he felt a little bit alpha. Rachel is so definitely the alpha dog. She is the alpha and every other dog. She's alpha to omega whenever she's around, and he carries himself different because he's not pretending that he thinks that Sarah is Beth, or he's not pretending that anything like that. He's no longer in control, and it's almost like that it freed him in a way. That whole scene, which I want to talk about later with Fee, I don't want to talk about that yet. That whole scene with Fee was just, wow, you have changed. You've totally changed. You're no longer this middleman who feels like he can. I mean, remember those scenes like last season when Sarah was in the club with like all the people that had like the tails and things like that, and he was her protector. He was trying to help her and do all this. He is totally turned. I don't trust him at all anymore. And maybe he'll prove me wrong. You know, maybe it is a cover, but he's totally turned to her side. And I think it is that whole, you know, or reminding me I have no choice. He's just resigned himself to this is what I am now, is I'm Rachel's bitch. So. I don't know, that's what it just feels to me. He didn't seem, though, to be struggling too much with the whole idea of the whole sex scene at the end.
Yeah, possibly. But still, you know, it was a new experience.
Oh, yeah. Just a touch. New experience. Well, did you like also Rachel making the comment about, wasn't it Rachel that said how now he'll have been with 3 clones? Because he was with Beth, and then he was with Sarah, and now he's going to be with Rachel. It's like, he has that experience now of, are the clones really
Sarah
clones?
Sarah was the one, during their phone conversation, I think.
Was it that? Okay.
Yeah, but either way, the line was very good. It was... And yeah, he can put it on his resume.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Clones, 3.
Check, and check. I don't think he's going to get with Cosima. There's a couple clones, you know, several clones that we have that are dead now that hopefully we're going to stay there.
Let's not go there.
We're not going to go
Let's
there.
Let's keep it PG-13.
Oh, we've already...
Jason always reminds us.
We keep trying to push the boundaries into R. Come on, let us go R. Let us go R. It is chicks, after all. Well, let's go back to Rachel then, because we know that while sex may not be something that, you know, we can delve into, violence, of course, is something that we can delve into in PG-13. Her comments with how she's only just begun, and her heavy-handed tactics. You know, they said, you know, oh, your heavy-handed tactics, and she's like, I've only just begun. I'm like, I totally believe you. That whole clip that we
and
played at the
was,
beginning with that Cosima will suffer. Like, she's your
but
sister.
I gotta tell you, when she said, I've only just begun, I was like, darling, why did you go to Thailand? We could have had you and your heavy-handed, delicious, wonderful tactics since the beginning of the season. But no, you had to go to Asia.
Well, we had to give something for, you know, time at the beginning for Allison and Blood Ties the Musical. Because you notice, this is an Allison-free episode.
I know, but...
First time in a while. So, I mean, I think that was it. We had to get Blood Ties first, and, you know... I think Rachel wanted that part in Blood Ties way too much to let it. So she had to go to Taiwan first for that. But yeah, she's back and I almost feel like, you know, in season one, it was Helena. Helena's crazy. She's evil. I don't want to deal with Helena. And now this season, I'm like, oh, Helena, I like her. So it's like Rachel is now the bad clone. It's funny to think of Helena as not the evil clone. It's like, you've been out psychopathed.
That's one way of putting it, definitely.
But we do have the twins back together now, so that we have Sarah. Oh gosh, see, I'm getting my clone names mixed up here. I was about to say Beth. I'm like, no, why am I?
Oh, shame on you.
I know. Okay, look, I just had a weekend with 4 different dogs, as I'm calling all the different Dixie. No, Grace. No, Sadie. So between dogs and clones, it's been a crazy and no sleep. It's been a crazy weekend. But so we have the two twins. Well, two twins. I'm being redundant. We have the twins back together now, with Sarah and Helena, and of course their new sister, their brother sestra.
Felix.
Oh, he's so cute. Oh, he's a sestra. He's a sestra. I'm like. Like, yeah, I guess so. And him, I love his line about how he, you know, pitted between two psychopaths. I think that was his line. But that whole scene where you know, he's now one of the sisters. You can never hurt him. He's one of the sisters. Aww.
But that's a good thing.
It is.
We don't want Helena to hurt him. Hello?
No, I definitely don't. Helena, I'll be one of your sestras too. Just don't hurt me. Don't hurt me, please.
By the way, what did you think about Helena's scenes with Art in this episode?
I actually really liked it because she was playing with her food. She's a cat playing with her food.
Yeah.
Doing her little drawings on his fish tank and such, and she was having fun with it, and I hope Art is smarter in the future and realizes that Helena plays with her food, because it's like, oh, come on, Art, you know you're going to end up in handcuffs. You know you're going to end up in handcuffs. And he did.
Yeah, but hey, I'd like to point out that he's still alive, so, you know, yes. Improvement.
He is. He's not a brother sestra. Maybe he's a cousin. He's a cousin sestra. You know, he's not quite in all the way. But the clip, though, with the whole, you know, the got you, Art, when, you know, that they had in the preview, you're like, oh, no, Helena, don't hurt Art. And it's like, oh, no, she's just playing with her food, and she's going to tie him up and then go off on her merry little psychotic way.
Yeah, but I honestly was slightly, I liked the scenes, but I was slightly disappointed in him, because isn't he supposed to be the cop and, you know, like, good with interrogation?
Okay, look who you're interrogating.
Still, it's like, you know, I know that for a while there, I thought that he was concentrating on the wrong things. Mm-hmm. Like, because I at first I didn't really understand his preoccupation with the girl that Beth killed.
Angie Chen.
Yeah. I didn't really, because...
Or Maggie Chen, sorry. Maggie Chen.
Maggie, yeah. But because for some reason I was convinced that he would be asking Helena about the crazy preacher. People, right? And not about Maggie Chen. So the interrogation kind of caught me off guard.
But obviously,
later on, it was useful because they found all the stuff. But still, at the very beginning, I didn't really know where he was going and why he would go that way if it was like months ago. And they should probably figure out who took what from Helena.
Well, but he did say that Maggie Chen was a Prolethean, and that's very relevant to Helena's story right now.
Mm,
so, I mean, I don't know. To me, I think that he's working, you know, he's looking at it a different way, whereas as Sarah is so entrenched in this because she is part of this whole clone world, he is on the outside, so he's almost got those ties, I think, that is seeing parts of the puzzle that aren't in Sarah's purview right now, because just like you said, Sarah's like, yeah, Maggie Chen, whatever, that was a Beth thing, that was Beth, I don't need to worry about that anymore. But maybe Art does see it as a link, because he knows it's a Prolethean, and now we also know that the Proletheans were after Kira, were after Sarah. And he saw the Prolethean, you know, Helena run from the Prolethean camp. And he's having the interactions with them, you know, being watch on them and taking photos of them. So I think he's going to be really important to that whole storyline.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what
he's
focusing
on. As long as they exchange those information at some point.
Well, you know, we'll see, because that's, you know, TV shows, they never...
Yeah, that's the biggest problem I have with TV shows. People don't talk to each other.
Well, you know, we don't...
You know, exchanging important information. Hello?
Yeah, it never happened. Well, but then how would we get to where else we need to be, you know, in the stories? Things would never be revealed. It would never be revealed. Okay, so I want to get back real quick before we head to break to a little bit of Rachel Paul and Felix thing there when they get Daniel's gun that's been involved in the cop murder because of, thank you, Daniel. And I remember when they brought it up, I'm like, what are they going to do for it? And then you have poor little Fee getting ready for his little hot date. So cute. It's just so cute. That was one I was just like, should I be watching this? Oh, Fee, this is such a private moment. He was just so happy.
No, I was watching it with, okay, something's going to happen. And it's going to happen any moment now. And because there is no way they would show something, you know, so free and lighthearted.
So happy.
Going to hell.
Yeah, you can't have happy and joy and life is going on as it should without crushing it so completely. I love the guy going, you know, it's like, is everything going to be okay? No problems here. And then when they burst in again, he's like, oh my God, not again. Like, this poor guy, he must really, if we see him again, he really likes Felix, to be able to go through two or three or more times of this kind of intrusion.
Poor Fee.
Dancing.
Not getting any.
Almost. So close.
So close.
But his outfits, I love his whole Carrie Bradshaw moment thing when he's trying on all the different outfits. I was like, ooh, no, not that one. Ooh, I like that. That's good. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, Jordan, you're fabulous in so many ways. We just love you. When Paul comes in, you know, at first I'm like, okay, we're in deep doo-doo here, and then Paul comes in and I went, uh-oh, it just got so much worse. And you know, I knew that somebody was gonna get blamed for that, you know, that murder. They were gonna use that gun for something, but when I saw that it was when Paul walked in, I'm like, oh, poor Felix. No, not Felix. Don't blame Felix for that murder. That was a really scary scene.
It was. And to think that for me, it started with seeing Paul and descending into Giggle Fest because my slash goggles were on and I decided, okay,
oh,
you can carry on.
Oh, PG-13.
Yeah, but basically it was like, you know, Giggle Fest, and then it got so scary because you didn't even know if he is going to survive this scene.
I know.
It was so scary, and Paul was so, you know, stony face and serious, and oh my God, I'm going to hurt you.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like, don't hurt our Fee. Don't hurt our Fee. That's like, you know, right now I think Felix is kind of like Daryl Dixon on Walking Dead. I think the masses would come up in arms if anything happened to Felix.
If Felix gets hurt, we riot.
You just warn. Felix is our Daryl Dixon, although much better dressed and without the crossbow. No offense, Norman. With that, why don't we take a break?
And with better hair.
Okay, I'm not going to go there because my best friend is a Daryl Dixon kind of a gal. So I'm not. She'll agree with me on the clothes when it comes to Daryl.
I don't care if there is a zombie apocalypse. You don't forget to wash your hair, for God's sake.
Okay, I am saying nothing. I will let you and Doreen battle that one out. Because I don't want to get caught between those two psychopaths there. So anyway.
Thank you.
You're welcome. With that, we're going to take a quick break, and we're going to let you hear a little bit more from Jordan, who plays Felix, and who plays Paul, talk about... So sorry, we got to find his name. I feel so bad. Talk about that actual scene in this episode between Felix and Paul. We'll be right back after this.
Hello, Felix.
The long arm of Rachel comes down in the form of Paul.
Playing with Team Rachel now, yeah?
It was a tough one. We were both pretty emotional filming that scene.
You don't know that he's just trying to put the gun in your hand. As far as you know, a bullet's coming to your brain next.
Bro, what are you doing? Are you crazy?
Tough thing to do.
I'm sorry.
It's actually really scary to shoot.
I have a murder weapon with Felix's prints on it.
Jordan and I gave each other a big hug afterwards.
Podcasts, they're great because you can download them, listen to them on the go. You can take us with you. But you can also join us live. Jason Hunt here, inviting you to listen Monday through Thursday, 10:30 to 11 p.m. Central U.S. That's Greenwich minus 6. News, talk, interviews, opinion, and it's all live. Sci-Fi for Me Radio presents Live from the Bunker, which you can find when you click on the links over at scififorme.com, your portal to the science fiction multiverse.
This is Sci-Fi for Me.
Mr. Harvey.
I know you're going to sit there and say, but it could be thinking that let's just trust our audience.
Mr. Hunt.
There's two things in a that make a story work. One is when it's consistent on its own logic, and the other is when it's actually telling a good story.
Opinions abound.
I fail to see the desire to see a over 50-year-old Austin Power.
With a few digressions along the way.
We do that here. You may have noticed.
Look at the bright lights. Winky blinkies.
I'm a godlike being. I gotta make sure I'm not scaring people.
H2O, every other Thursday on Sci-Fi for Me Radio.
And in no way or shape or form is this going, when I was a boy,
ew.
I remember. Yeah, anyway.
No.
Available on iTunes, Double Twist, and RSS feed. Produced by SciFiForMe.com, your portal to the science fiction multiverse. Welcome back to Sci-Fi for Chicks, the Clone Club edition. Dylan Bruce. His name is Dylan Bruce. We Googled it, and we're very sorry, Dylan, for...
And we will never forget, I promise you.
Until next episode, when we're like, yeah, the Paul... I'm sorry, Jordan is just so fabulous. You know, it just, he dazzled
us. It's difficult to compete with that.
It's difficult to compete with that, although you did give us our eye candy for the episode, so we should give you...
For which we are eternally grateful.
We are very grateful. Yeah, because it was like front... that. Okay, I know we said we were going to go on new stuff, but like when Rachel like has him take off his clothes and then she like pulls his little elastic string out there and looks down, I was just like... Come on, sharesies! Yeah. I felt like Felix then. Sharesies! With that, you know, don't keep it all to yourself. So anyway, let's go from the R, actually X-rated, I think, with Rachel, kind of things, to the more family-friendly Prolethians. We'll go religious here. Okay, the whole thing with Grace. And the milk does a body good. I love the guy coming. Okay, here, you should feel better, Dylan, because I don't even know the character's name. He's just creepy religious cult younger guy.
Yeah.
Bringing Grace that milk because it does a body good. And when she turned around and her lips are sewn shut.
Yeah, I was... Because for a second there, I just thought, you know, they locked her up in some dark place, mm-hmm. you know, as a punishment. And then it went from bad to worse. For some reason, I assumed that the first wife, whatever her name is,
yeah.
was Grace's mother.
Yeah, or and would have loved her in some way.
Yeah, and if she's the one who's so vicious and willing
so
to, you know, do that to her daughter. And oh my God, when she was pulling out the stitches, it was like, okay, Helena is like sane and perfectly normal next to this woman.
Because, oh my God, get Rachel and that Prolethean woman together. We're just talk about, you know,
yeah.
stuck between and, two psychopaths.
She was like, oh my God.
Crazy.
I don't want to think about it.
Yeah. Well, that's where one of those where I get into, bless you, where I get into, you know, some when you have these religious cults that are like that, I'm like, how can you believe in the love of God when you are so evil to another person? I mean, that was just, you're one of your own people. Like, if it had been somebody else, if it had been Sarah, not that I want Sarah's lips sewn shut, but, you know, if it had been Allison, oh my, Allison would have just ripped those stitches right out if it had been her. But if it had been somebody else that was on the outside of the cult, that's one thing, but this is somebody within your own. And to be that evil.
By the way, props for calling this, because when the crazy woman mm-hmm. said that Grace would be carrying the child mm-hmm. if they didn't recover Helena, I was like, point for Heather.
It just, you know, it's one of those things that sometimes they just they show things in shots that you're just like, pregnant, 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 not. And I really don't want to see Helena pregnant. I really don't. I really... really don't.
No,
she will not be taking her prenatal vitamins, that is for sure. Okay, well, I was right there, but I will say I was wrong when it came to the whole video. It was Rachel in those videos. It wasn't Angie Chen. So I get something right, I also get something wrong.
But I still think that Rachel might not be there, you know.
Yeah.
There's.
Oh, no.
She's definitely a clone.
Yeah. So is that all we want to talk about with the creepy religious cult people?
Yeah, let's not give them any more screen time.
They're just really, 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 really creepy.
Yeah, the less I see of them, the better.
But I'll tell you something, though. I don't... It's like you want to feel sorry for Grace because of what they did to her, but I don't.
It's not like she's so completely stable.
No.
She fits right in there.
Yeah, she's... Yeah. But she has a love in the young... creepy young guy. He's got a thing for her because he brings her milk.
Yeah, that's a Match.com profile right there.
Yeah,
I'm creepy, religious, but I will bring you milk.
Yeah.
Seriously.
Okay, so moving on. Let's move on. One thing we didn't mention when it came to Rachel. Did you like how they knew about Cal? And they were talking about all the different things that, you know, like what he was involved in. I know there was like some tech stuff. So I'm like, okay, I called it again. Cal is not just some nice little reclusey, you know, hunter.
I really hope he's not just a babysitter.
He's not. He's because they were talking about how he was involved in whatever the tech thing was, and they know about him. So he before he went off the grid, he seems to be very on the grid.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing what they come up with for him.
So I guess we should then talk about a little bit about little Miss Cosima and Delphine.
Yeah.
And how they got the tests by mistake. They weren't supposed to get those tests.
Yeah, you gotta wonder how much by mistake it was.
Yeah, I don't think Leaky is as bad as we think he was from this first season, you know?
Yeah, because on one hand, you can believe that he just wants to help Cosima, but I'm pretty sure that he doesn't look at it just this way, because I can't help but think that it's all just an experiment for him, and he doesn't really see Cosima as a person,
right?
Just a test subject.
That he can talk to. It's not like an, you know, like some sort of thing in a petri dish that I'm, you know, you look down and go, okay, so what's going on with you? He can actually say that to her. What's going on with you?
She has a knowledge that he can use, and the longer she's alive and well enough to work, the longer he can use her.
Right.
Right? Just like Rachel is useful in a scary kind of world domination way, but they are useful, and I don't know. He might not be the shot caller in this. Like, there might be someone above who is actually, you know, in charge. But it doesn't really feel like he's helping Cosima out of the goodness of his heart.
Well, no, I think because he started out, you know, I hate to say that, you know, he's a man of science, but he basically was the man of science. And Rachel even says how she was, he was... helping her, I don't want to say helping her, but you know, she was part of this whole thing that he was, and as she moved up, she eventually outranked him, but he still has his purpose and all this. I think he sees, she may outrank me, but she doesn't outknow me. She doesn't, I've got this knowledge, and my work is important, and he's focusing more on the work, whereas, not Cosima. See, I'm getting them mixed up. Whereas Rachel is, how do you get Rachel and Cosima mixed up? That's just wrong. Whereas Rachel is in, she's like the, it's like Pinky and the Brain, and she's the Brain, and Leaky is Pinky. And what are we gonna do tonight? Same thing we do every night. But they do get some information out of Leaky about the fire. And do you think it really did destroy the genome? Because I kind of believe him. I think
he believes it destroyed the genome. Because
that's a good
going
idea.
Slightly. Yeah, because going slightly farther with the episode, we know that Duncan, Dr. Professor whichever.
Swan Man, yeah.
That he might be alive.
Right.
And if he's alive, I bet you that he didn't just allow his life's work to burn. There's no way. So I think Leaky truly, honestly believes that that genome and the work done is lost. But I don't think that's actual truth.
I like that idea. That's actually a really good observation. Because, yeah, he's talking to Cosima and Delphine, I think, really along that scientist way of this is what happened, and here's the genome, and we need to do all this. And
to recreate it.
Recreate it and find out more. And I will help you if you help me, but not in this Rachel... Paul, you're on my side, and there is no other choice, and go do this. In really like that trading of information kind of thing. Now, granted, the information he wants to trade is to get Cosima to rat out Sarah, but just a small thing.
Small steps.
I think he really does think that it's been destroyed, and when you have this roadblock in your... scientific research that how do I get this back? How do I get back on track? Because I know Tim and I have talked about this on the Cosmos podcast that, you know, here we have like the library in Alexandria that had all this knowledge and it burned down. And what have we lost now? And have to step back and recreate things. And if we still had that, how much further would we be? It's kind of like the same with him where he's, okay, I got so far. And now without that information, I can't go further. So I have to take all these steps back and really work it out. I'm glad that he decided to continue Cosima's treatment or start her treatment so that she doesn't
hopefully it will let her, live.
Yeah, it would be a nice thing, but it does kind of compromise her, because now she is definitely in debt to Leaky, and so I wonder if that's going to play in the future. You know, where okay, well, I have this, and he's helping me stay alive, and Sarah, what are you doing for me?
I really like the direction the show is going this year, because last year we literally had the Clone Club. They were united, they had their goal that they wanted to reach, and they were together, and they were working towards this goal. And this year, it's like the unity is gone, because everybody has their own agenda, the way they are going, the things they need to achieve, and in theory, they still want to discover this leader project and find the answers to their existence, I suppose, but there's so much going on for each of them. Like, Cosima has her health stuff, Sarah has this conspiracy theory, everything going on. Allison is trying to survive, basically. Helena is doing Helena stuff. So everybody has, you know, their own little world. And I know that they are still members of the Clone Club, and they can still call each other to ask questions or find help, but they're not as united.
Right.
And I think that's that Rachel really succeeded in that particular thing that she, I assume, tried to do at the end of season one. She basically broke them up.
Yeah. Well, I think that's a good point you bring up. Like, the first season, obviously, we come into it totally from Sarah's point of view.
Yeah.
And the clone world is new to us, and the clone club that existed was broken apart because Beth committed suicide, and in doing so, that was their financing, that was their information thing, you know, and Allison and Cosima, and obviously Katya, wasn't that the German's
name? Katya.
That you know, they're now, oh my gosh, what do we do, because, you know, the center, Beth, was gone. And so it was really about, okay, we need to all come together, and Sarah, you're part of the family now, you're part of Clone Club, and you're our center, and you're going to help with the information in this. But once they came together, just like all families, you come together as a family, and when you know you've got each other, you, I think, explore more of what you want and what you need or what things you have going. You know, obviously, Cosima has all the scientific stuff that she's going for. Allison, I don't know. It's almost like Allison doesn't have the use in Clone Club that she used to, and with everything that happened with her and Ainsley and Donnie, it just set her off, and she's that relative that everybody's kind of forgotten about. It's like, okay, you just continue. We've got other stuff to deal with. We can't deal with you. I mean, Felix is the only one that goes to her.
Yeah.
So I think that's a really good point, is now they've come together as a family, so now they're going apart, and that's just going to drive, they're driving their own wedges in between each other. They don't need help from
anybody. You're going to wonder what could bring them back together, you know?
Eventually.
Well, and whether or not the writers will actually want to get them back together.
Yeah, well, I think that's actually a future season. I think we need to rip them apart and let Cosima have that time where she's choosing between, okay, what do I do, what's best for the clones as a whole, or do I live? Do I do stuff that keeps me around? Because she's now seen Jennifer, video clone, and found out she died. Yeah, that hit her hard. When you see her go from this vibrant young woman to, you know, cancer patient, basically, and very sick cancer patient, and knowing that that's in your future, when you know you have something like that, that changes your worldview. And I think Cosima's coming down to it's Delphine, and I think she's going to have a really big loyalty to Leaky. Now, not purposefully choosing Leaky over Sarah, but choosing herself over Clone Club.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely.
And that leads us really to the one clone we haven't really talked about that much, which is Sarah, who is back to being, I think, Sarah. Her and Art are back together as, you know, cop buddy partners here. She's on the run. She's doing what she needs to get done. Seeming very Sarah. Yeah, I love her with Fee going, you know, you've got to help me take care of Helena. We've got to do this and put this into place. And yes, he's your brother Sestra. Seeing her on the hunt again, I really, really liked that.
Yeah, I almost dubbed this episode Sarah got her groove back.
Yeah. That's a good one. Yeah, she does seem to be back in the groove, and I think she would have made a good cop if she hadn't had the early life she had, because she was really, when she got Nessie. You were talking about the whole Maggie Chen thing and why was Art focusing on that? Well, obviously it was good because Helena leads them to Maggie Chen's locker where they discover that Swan Man photo, and she's the one that puts it together that Swan Man is Duncan guy. And she has her new purpose, I think, you know, of her little tidbit of information that she can continue on. And that's going to be something I think that'll play into the whole Cosima thing too, since Leaky's trying to get Cosima to basically rat out Sarah and move his agenda forward. Well, Sarah's now got information, like you said, that Leaky doesn't, that this guy is still alive and might have that genome, or at least information that he didn't have.
Yeah. And let's talk about the final scene.
The final scene, yes. Well,
yeah.
We've talked about one aspect of the final scene, with it being very, very nasty, very dirty, dirty. Rachel is such a nasty girl. But in such a fun way, obviously, for her, at least. I hope the chair
survives.
Yeah. I hope it wasn't leather, because leather can get very sticky. But, sorry. The other side of it, though, when they realize that Helena is gone and she's on her way to take Rachel out, and we see Helena with that sniper rifle and with that little Barbie doll, that poor little Barbie doll that is beheaded and getting a little coif, although she's pretty good at the hairstyling there. I wonder if that's a future career for Helena. I even liked her doing putting the lipstick on the doll and then on her.
Yeah.
So she's got to pretty up for this assassination. That was pretty intense.
But I really, really liked Sarah in the scene.
Mm-hmm.
Because We are used to her having a family, like Fee and Kira and Mrs. S at some point. Mm-hmm. But this was so... it was intense. That's one thing. But it was also so subtle in a way that... when you remember how she reacted the first time she saw Helena, so one part of me was wondering whether or not she was being honest. Like, are you playing with the crazy person, or are you actually meaning what you're saying? So, and this scene, I think, is equally as powerful. No matter what angle you look at it from. Mm-hmm. Whether you're convinced that Sarah is just saying those things because they need to be said, because they are means to an end to keep Felix alive and well and not harmed, or whether or not she actually means it.
What do you think? Does she actually mean it?
I don't know. I would like it if she meant it, because Sarah, out of all of them, Sarah's the only one who actually came into the Clone Club. So that she's now connected to all those women, mm-hmm. and just took it in, accepted it, and went with it. Mm-hmm. And she was, well, in a way, protective of the clones in season one.
So, against Helena, yeah. Going, Helena's there, and we're here.
Exactly. So I think that, in a way... if she actually meant it, I would really like it, because that would put Rachel, as you said, you know, the evil one, the big bad, mm-hmm. so to speak, and then us here, and this time us including Helena. Mm-hmm. Because, well, in season one, Helena was the villain, right? She was evil, she
very
wanted
so,
to
yeah.
kill them all, but I think that by now, Sarah actually sees the weaknesses in Helena and the stuff she went through. Mm-hmm. And that, I think, at least, in Sarah's eyes, gave Helena back some of her humanity.
Yeah.
So in that way, I really wish she meant it. And I don't want to see her, you know, going back on her word and screwing over Helena one way or another. So because, well, you know, she might be a psychopath, but let's be one big happy family.
One big happy dysfunctional family.
Normal is overrated.
Not, well, normal is just a frame of mind. What's normal for me is psychotic for somebody else, I'm sure. I think she actually meant it. I mean, Tatiana is an awesome actress, and Sarah, I think, has proven that she can be a very good actress, because she's been Beth, she's been Cosima, she's been Allison too, hasn't she? So I think she, you know, she's done that, but those tears, when she was almost shaking and crying, and it's like, I thought I killed you, and you're not, and I'm really glad you're still here, and you're my sister, we're sister. Just that moment was so wonderful, so raw, so real, how she can act both sides of it. Again, I'm going to give props to her stand-in, who she acts against, to be able to help her get that out on screen on both sides, I think was fabulous. I think she really did mean it, because she was afraid of Helena originally, and then found out what Helena was, that Helena is her twin. Helena is her sister. Helena is really more family than Allison or Cosima or Rachel or any of the others, which I think is going to play a part somewhere, where it is going to be the actual sisters and the clones, because I do like what you said last week about how I think that they're the originals, because Helena was talking in that first season how, you know, she's the original. Well, you know, if you're an original, then your sister is too. And I think it's going to come to a point there, and I think that was a great bonding moment when Helena stepped away from what she was, which was this assassin, which that's all that Tomas and everybody had really made her out to be.
Yeah. In a way, I think Sarah might be Helena's sanity, in a way.
Yeah.
She might give her back some sanity. Not much, mind you. I mean, because
it's a long way for Helena to go.
Yeah, and it might be about clones and miracle babies and whatnot, but let's not talk about miracles in that big. Miracles don't just happen. But but she might give Helena some of her sanity back if she ever had one.
Well, and sometimes the most profound miracles are those small things. Just that moment when Helena chose Sarah over the mission of killing all the clones. I think that was a miracle. That was a really profound turning point, I think, in the story. And it'll be interesting to see what Allison and such think of Helena when, no, she's okay. She's with us now. And then, of course, Helena has all this information that she's opening up to us and to Sarah with the whole Swan Man, and that they need to go to Cold River, the place of screams. Wow. Mm. Doesn't that sound like a happy vacation place?
Yeah, definitely a place you want to go.
Yeah, I want to wait to see those vacation brochures. The look on Art's face during that whole part, that was just priceless. Like, oh, really? Really? You're going to trust her? She's the one with the big sniper rifle, and we already know she's psycho, and she's done this to me, and we're just walking off, you know, with our arms around each other, all happy, happy, joy, joy. That's going to be an interesting trio. Now that you've got Sarah, Helena, Fee, and Art, although Fee is in trouble, but we didn't mention that too, is Helena not only chose Sarah, she also chose Fee.
Yeah.
Her new brother.
By the way, the look on Art's face, you know what it said?
What?
It said, look at your life, look at your choices.
There you go.
Because really, no, he is judging her so hard.
Well, you know, I think Art also has, remember, he has that image in his head too of bloody bride Helena running from the farm right past him. Hey! I think he's going to open up to her here at some point and like that. So, okay.
But, you know, let's not go there yet.
Okay, so what else do we have to say about this episode? Not that we could go on forever, I know.
But I think we covered everything, all the important stuff.
Okay, so I think it's time. I'm going to start with our clone queen. We ready for this?
Yes, we are.
Okay, so it's time to pick our clone queen of the week.
Three cheers for Her Majesty the Queen! Hip hip!
Hooray!
Hip hip!
Okay, so, Clone Queen, I went first last week because you only had one, I had four. You go first this week. Who's your Clone Queen for episode 5?
Rachel. All the way from start to finish, Rachel gets the crown because, really, really. I was just so floored with her and how, you know, some people need violence to show how powerful they are. Mm-hmm. And Rachel can just look at you. And you're done. You are doing what she wants. And that includes taking off your shirt and pants. I am not over it. Yeah, but basically, I was really impressed with Rachel. Really, seriously, from the little subtle emotion that she showed with Daniel to the total bitch fest with Paul and how she was in charge. That kind of won me over.
Okay. Well, my clone queen, I'm going the exact opposite direction, and I'm actually naming little Miss Sarah as my clone queen for this episode because she's back. Finally. She's got her mission. She's figuring out what she needs to do. She's putting things in place. She knows that Kira's over here, although she got that arrow in the heart with "I'm not a monkey." So she's gotten the parental arrow in the heart that you all you always get. But they're in the place. She's got Felix taken care of. She knows that Allison's in rehab. She's, you know, everybody's in their place, and she can focus on what she needs to get done, and she's finally back to being Sarah, not being mom, not being put upon clone, not being anything. She is Sarah full on 100%, and I am really glad to have her back. Rachel, good choice. I'm still going with Sarah for this one. But yeah. To each his own. Okay, so let's go now to backup.
I don't do backup. I don't even know what backup is.
Okay, so who, might I ask, is your backup of the week?
Okay, let's just say that if the episode didn't have any Felix in it, I would go with Paul.
Oh.
Yes, because if I ignore and squash my eternal, never-ending love for Felix, I would really...
He is gay, you know. He is gay.
Doesn't mean I can't love him.
Okay.
You know? I adore him because he is awesome. But, you know, if we completely forget about Felix, that he was even in the episode, Paul really made an impression this episode. Because I told you previously when we talked that he was this, you know, two-dimensional character that I didn't really pay attention to, and his sole purpose in life was to, you know, be eye candy. Mm-hmm. But this episode... He really, like, I don't even have words to describe what happened in this episode, but he was so active.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's a nice word. He was active in the scenes that he was in. He wasn't just a passive observer.
Right.
Like, he didn't react to things. Well, in his scene with Rachel, there was some reactions, but, you know... He just took control of what he was doing in the scenes. And I actually felt his presence. Because in season one, I'm going to hate myself for saying it. The show wouldn't be much different if Paul was replaced by, sexy lamp.
Yeah. Sexy lamp? But, is that the one from Christmas Story with the fragile?
Sorry. No, it's okay. An alternative to the feminist approach to female characters. If a character can be replaced by a sexy lamp, yeah. It's not a well-written female character.
Yeah.
So I applied it to basically Paul's character in season one.
He was a placeholder, yeah.
Yeah, he was a placeholder. He looked pretty, you know, and that was it. Yeah. But in season two, and in this episode especially, I actually saw him. I noticed him. And it was like this... Wow, okay, so there's more to you than your pretty body. That was a revelation.
Yeah, there you go. Well, you know, my backup for the week, I'm going to go totally opposite of the Clone Queen, where I went totally opposite of you, and I am in total agreement, because that's who I picked as well. Paul really... Dylan Bruce, really stood out. I'm trying to make up for it earlier. Really stood out in this episode because, you know, like I'd said earlier, he went from being nothing. He was just this pawn that everybody else was pushing around to. Even though he's not in control, he has this new presence about himself. And this he really is showing so much. I was very impressed. The scene with him and Felix that we played that little bit earlier, it was scary. And for Paul, not even the actor, but for Paul to make that jump and to do things like that to, you know, him and Rachel, this presence, he was submissive to her, but he was still holding his own in every scene that he was in. And I was really impressed with that too. So while our clone queens are total opposites, we are in agreement this week on our backup.
Totally. And, you know, understandably, because wow.
Yeah. Listeners, who would your clone queen and backup be for this episode? Feel free to give us a call at 573-42-SCI-FI. That's 573-427-3424. Or email us at scififorchicks@scififorme.com. And that's going to bring us to the end. So, of course, the end makes us look forward to next week, which is coming up. And here's the trailer for episode 6, To Hound Nature in Her Wanderings.
On an all-new Orphan Black.
You act like you've never been in a car before.
Never been on a road trip.
Allison.
No, thank you. I'm gonna sit this one out.
Whoa. We need to talk.
I wonder how a simple guy like me keeps a girl like you in a place like this.
Hey! You knew all along. You're just one of them.
Hello, Paul.
Okay, so what stood out for you in that trailer? What are you looking forward to?
I'm looking forward to, apparently, Paul and Mrs. S.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was the one thing that was the thing that stood out to me. I was like, okay. Oh, hello, Paul. I was like, I wasn't expecting that.
Yeah, I didn't see this coming, as they say. Because, the whole trailer, it was nice, you know? Mm-hmm. I have things to look forward to, and then bam.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what?
Yeah. Well, and last week, the trailer, the thing that stood out was what I played at the beginning, that whole, you know, until Sarah comes to heal thing, which that gave us insight into our character of Rachel, and it let us know that she's really going to be a presence. And it didn't really tell us much about the story moving forward as a whole. This was just that door was open of Mrs. S and Dyad and Project Lita and all of this are so interwoven that Mrs. S knows Paul. And how does Mrs. S know Paul? Is it from something more recent, or is it from something all along? You know, is it because of Beth and Paul, or was it something even deeper? So how deep are all of them into this right now?
But I gotta tell you, this is something that both I love and what frustrates me extremely, because you can never tell where someone's loyalty lies.
Yeah.
Because once you begin to believe that this person wants to achieve this and this and this, and they will side with this and this and this person. Mm-hmm. They just take it and turn it around, and I no longer know who to trust because apparently Paul and Mrs. S know each other.
Yeah. Well, and I think that's kind of an ongoing theme with this whole series. Even when you know who you can trust,
you can't
because, you know, and like Felix and Sarah being so tight, but Felix even had his moment of, you know, while Sarah's going off with Cal and Kira, I'm going back to Allison. And so, you know, even things as small as that, you know, are, it's all about breaking ties and finding new ties and finding new things. And that the blurb for next week's episode says, Sarah joins forces with an unlikely and untrustworthy ally following a trail of clues she hopes will lead her to the origins of the clone experiment. So unlikely and untrustworthy ally. It's that whole thing. Is that going to be Mrs. S? Is it going to be Leaky? Is it Paul? Is it someone we don't know yet?
I don't know. And this is why it frustrates me at the same time as I, you know, am completely in love with it. What are these feelings that I'm experiencing?
It's a fabulous show. I love it. And one thing, I'll tell you some other things I'm looking forward to, is I was reading just kind of little clips and things. And so we've now got Cal Morrison by Michael Huseman, Heinrich Johansson, who's our Prolethean leader, played by Peter Outerbridge. We have someone coming in. Rachel's boss at the Dyad Institute is being played by Michelle Forbes. You know who Michelle
Forbes
is?
And let's talk how good this choice is.
I've seen her. I have to admit, Ensign Rowe, never a big fan, but everything else she's done after that, she is just so fabulous.
She's brilliant.
Seeing her and just the thought of seeing her and Rachel together blows my mind.
Just hearing that she's going to be on the show, I just knew that it's going to be perfect. And I think so I've seen in the trailer, I think I saw Patrick J. Adams from Suits.
Yes, Patrick J. Adams will be on it, and he is portraying the character of Jesse, a regular guy whose life changes drastically when he forms a connection with the various clones. Not just a clone, but various clones. So I think we've got some really great stars.
I know he's been
stars.
A big fan of the show, so, you know, yay for him.
Yeah, I wonder if this is one where actors are going, get me on the show! I don't care what! Get me on the show!
Probably.
It would be awesome.
Yeah, let's face it, yes.
So we only have five more, and we just started these podcasts, and we only have five more episodes left, but we have some really great things to look forward to in those five episodes with even just the guest stars that are coming up and then everything else that we have going on with the storyline. So I'm looking forward to it. Yay.
Yeah. And tune in for the podcast.
Yes. Tune in for, make sure you subscribe to us on iTunes, Double Twist, OneCast, RSS feed. Sci-Fi for Chicks is part of Sci-Fi for Me Radio on sci-fifor.me.com. A lot of sci-fi fours there, but we want to make sure you don't forget. You can like us and follow us on the social media of your choice, including Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, Instagram, Google+, YouTube. Check out our YouTube channels. We will be back next week, which won't be a full week from now for us because we recorded late again. I blame the dogs. It all went to the dogs this past weekend, and that's kind of funny since the next week's episode is to hound nature in her wanderings.
Oh, look at you with all your puns.
Look at that. How I tie things together. It's connections. It's all about connections and our digressions here. But we're Alex and I will be back next week for more of Sci-Fi for Chicks, the Clone Club edition. We can't wait to hear from you. So please call in, write in with your clone queen and backup choices for any episodes. If you call in and leave a message, we may even play it on the next episode. So, give us a call. And if you watch on Saturday, which is BBC America night, we try and record by Monday, so call in quick and let us know what you think. But thank you so much, Alex. It's been fun.
Yes, it was.
Thanks for holding on, too, and just going, I want to talk. Heather, stop having a crazy, complicated life. I want to talk. We'll be back next week. Thank you, Alex. Thank you for listening, and we will see you again soon. Thank you. Bye.
Bye-bye.
This has been a presentation of SciFiForMe.com. Copyright 2014 by Flaming Dog Media, LLC. All rights reserved. No portion of this program may be retransmitted without the express written consent of Flaming Dog Media.